And Anne, at this time, and I'm going to read certain parts of it, Maria del Torta sees the vision, the scene, and then she has time to describe it. So this is what she's saying. I see the inside of a house. In it, there's an elderly woman sitting at a loom. I would say, noting that her hair, which formerly was certainly jet black, is now quite gray, and her face, though not wrinkled, has the gravity that comes with age, that she must be 55 years old, not more. The woman I see weaving in a room, bright with the light coming from a door wide open onto a large garden, a small holding I would call it because it smoothly extends up and down a green slope. The woman is beautiful in her definite Jewish features. Her eyes are black and deep, and while I do not know why, they remind me of the Baptist's, that's John the Baptist's, eyes. But although they are proud as the eyes of a queen, they are also sweet, as if a veil of blue had been laid on the flesh of an eagle. Sweet and somewhat sad, as if a person who thinks of and regrets lost things. This is probably a reference to her childlessness. Her skin is brown, not excessively. Her mouth, slightly large, is well-formed and is motionless in an austere setting, which, however, is not a hard one. Her nose is long and thin, slightly drooping, an aquiline nose, which suits her eyes. She is well-built and not fat, well-proportioned and, I think, tall, judging her in a sitting position. Now, she highlights the loss or not even having had a child by the fact that the next door neighbor has a child, and this child loves her. And the woman is passing by and asks her for one of those pitchers they call an amphora with two handles, you know, they carry water. Sometimes they put it on the top of their head. And she leaves the little boy with Anne. His name is Alpheus, and Maria goes on to describe the scene. Alpheus is very pleased to stay, and the reason is clear. As soon as his mother is gone, Anne picks him up and takes him into the orchard, lifts him up to a pergola. That's a canopy of grapes, a grape arbor. Because the grapes are as golden as a topaz. And she says to him, eat, eat, because they're good. And she kisses him on his little face soiled with the juice of the grapes, which a child eats avidly. Then she laughs heartily and at once looks younger on account of the lovely set of teeth she displays and the joy that shines on her face, dispelling her years, as the child asks, "And what are you going to give me now?" And he gazes at her with large, wide-open eyes of a deep gray-blue color. She laughs and plays with him, bending on her knees, and goes on. What will you give me if I give you? If I give you, guess. And the child, clapping his little hands with a big smile, responds, kisses, kisses, I will give you. Nice Anne, good Anne, Mama Anne. And Anne, when she hears him say, Mama Anne, gives out a real cry of joyful love, cuddles the little one, declaring, my darling, dear, 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 dear. At each dear, a kiss descends on the rosy cheeks. Beautiful description. And so this highlights, in other words, their years of childlessness and how she was showering that child for lack of her own. Now, a description of Joachim. An elderly man comes in from the orchard. He is a little smaller than Anne, and his thick hair completely white. His face is of a clear complexion with a squarely cut beard. His eyes are like blue turquoises, and his eyelashes are light brown, almost fair. His robe is dark brown. Anne does not see him because her back is turned to the door, and he approaches her from behind, questioning. And nothing for me? Anne turns around and says, oh, Joachim, have you finished your work? At the same time, little Alpheus runs to the elderly man's knees, exclaiming, "Also you, also you." And when the man bends down to kiss him, the child clings to his neck, ruffling his beard with his little hands in his kisses. Joachim also has his gift. He brings his left hand from behind his back and offers the child such a beautiful apple that it seems made of the finest porcelain. Smiling, he says to the child, who is holding his hands out eagerly, "Wait, I will cut it for you. You cannot take it as it is. It is bigger than you." With a small pruning knife which he carries on his belt, he cuts the fruit into small slices. He seems to be feeding a nestling, such is the care with which he puts the morsels into the little wide-open mouth that munches and chews. Look at his eyes, Joachim. Don't they look like two little wavelets of the Sea of Galilee when the evening wind draws a veil of cloud over the sky? Anne is speaking, resting one hand on her husband's shoulder, and she is leaning slightly on him too, and her attitude revealing the deep love of a wife, a love still perfect after many years of marriage. And Joachim looks at her lovingly and agrees, saying, "Most beautiful. And his curls, aren't they the color of crops dried in the sun? Look, in them there's a mixture of gold and copper." Ah, if we had had a child, I would have liked him thus, with these eyes and this hair. And has bent down. In fact, she's on her knees, and with a deep sigh, she kisses the two large gray-blue eyes. And then they begin to talk to each other, and she begins to cry. And Joachim tries to comfort her, and he says, "Don't cry, Anne. We're happy just the same. At least I am, because I have you." And she says, "Also I have you, but I have not given you a child. I think I've distressed the Lord because he's made my womb barren." And he goes out to say, "Oh, my wife, how can you have distressed him, you holy woman? Listen, let us go once more to the temple for this reason, not only for the tabernacles, but let us say a long prayer. Perhaps it will happen to you as it did to Sarah, as it happened to Anna of Elkanah." Remember in the Old Testament, she went to the temple and she prayed. And then she got a son, Samuel. He goes on to say, they waited for a long time and they considered themselves dejected because they were barren. Instead, a holy son was maturing for them in the heavens of God. "Smile, my wife. Your crying is a greater sorrow to me than being without offspring. We shall take Alpheus with us. We shall make him pray since he's innocent. And God will hear his prayer and ours together and will grant it." "Yes," she says, "let us make a vow to the Lord. The offspring will be his." Now that's prophetic, see? "As long as he grants it. Oh, to hear me being called Mama." And Alpheus, an astonished and innocent spectator, exclaims, "I will call you so." "Yes, my darling," she says, "but you have your mummy, and I have no baby." And that's where the vision stops. Now, that's the background.